This is the Mad Marv Comedy Lounge. Trap comedy at its finest. Where if you can't slang yourself, you might as well hang yourself. This is also where you can turn yourself into dope and you become the real man. Whoa, yeah.
Shoot him down range.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Mad Marv Comedy Lounge. We have a special guest, Jeff Brown, with us right here on the right-hand side, looking like Black Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And once again, we have Black Thought. He's back with us again to give us his black-ass thoughts.
Yes, sir.
And once again, we also have the in-house ghetto Googler, Mr. Farouk. We want to shout out to our sponsors, Hemp It Ain't Easy, straight out of Oakland, and we also want to give some kind of shout outs to Danielle and Kev. I guess that rain fucked their whole world up, you know, in L.A. when it just sprinkled a little bit, motherfuckers lose their goddamn mind. So they ain't going to be here this week. So we want to get straight on into it and see what's going on. I was on the news. I mean, I was watching YouTube, and I seen a black dude, which was the oldest living veteran of the, World War II. He was 109 years old.
Wow.
Hey, look, Jeff. He was still driving his Ford truck. He was smoking 5 cigars a day. He drank 5 cups of Jack Daniel whiskey every morning and 5 cups of coffee. He got to have his butter pecan ice cream every night. And he have a girl that's 20 years younger than him. She's the ripe old age of 91.
I think we should all live like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, at first I was thinking I wouldn't want to live to be that goddamn old, because they're the old-ass motherfuckers. I'd be seeing, you know, you'd be shitting on yourself and pissing. But this motherfucker's still the player. You know, he got the cigar and everything at 109, passing the driver's license. He said, I got my Ford. It ain't never broke down, so I just kept it.
How about that?
Hell yeah. He said, I buy one thing and I just use it until it don't work no more. He showed his TV. It was a Zenith. You remember the Zenith?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hell yeah. This motherfucker had a working Zenith.
The
yeah,
quality look, goes in
then,
before
then
the name goes on.
Then it had a first remote control. Remember the Zenith, the first remote control TV, and then the clicks.
You can hear that.
Click,
shit.
Click, okay. Click.
You couldn't sneak and watch no TV. You touched that motherfucker. It was like clunk, clunk. Hell yeah. See, we was really, as kids, as black kids, we was the first remotes. Because our parents would look at us and say,
Day-Day, you had to turn to Channel 5. Yeah, you got to stand there.
Yeah.
You ever get in trouble for not remembering the stories? Nigga, we was the first, I used to say we was the first TiVo. Because I had a nigga, you're going to get an ass whooping if you couldn't tell my grandmama what Erica did on All My Children.
You got to know. You got to keep up with Tad Martin and all them motherfuckers.
All that. Tad the Cad. You better know that shit.
Jeff, did you come from a country family that would yell at the TV?
Come on, man. Come on. I was born and raised in Chicago, which is nothing more than Upper Mississippi. That's what it is. Chicago is full of folks from down south. We was yelling at the TV.
Uh-huh.
Got the one TV, the video work, one TV audio work. You put the one you can see on top of the one you can hear.
Right.
And put them both on Channel 5.
Right.
Nigga, what?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the book.
All that.
Shit.
Yeah, and the one
it's
on top
nigga
was
rigging.
And the one on top was collecting bullet holes. Hopefully not.
No. See, now that was the thing. I grew up, and I might be a little older than everybody here. Mm-hmm. I'm 51.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you got me beat.
Yeah. So I grew up in a time in Chicago where only punks carried guns.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The real gangsters didn't because they didn't need them.
Right. Oh, well, they done flipped that shit now.
Yeah,
you know everybody?
Yeah. Oh, bro. Come on, man. My fans, mm-hmm. my family.
Ain't nobody brave in Chicago now. Everybody got a goddamn gun. Well, grandmama, mm-hmm. disabled people in the little nigga in the kindergarten, he packing too, you know?
In the world,
everybody got to have a gun in the Chi-Town. They call it Chi-Rack.
In the words of my man, Corey Holcomb. Shout out to Corey Holcomb.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with Chicago is that these bitch made niggas, these niggas that was raised with no daddy, the bitch niggas is running the street.
Yeah.
Because
that's a good Corey Holcomb too.
Oh, by the way, bro, that's my dude. what the problem I believe is feminine conflict resolution. That's where you get you stepped on my foot, so now I'm gonna go to the trunk.
Yeah.
Because women, and I love you, poets, but it's true. Women they handle their concept, their conflict, 0 or 100.
Yeah. It ain't no in between.
Ain't no 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Yeah. And when you raise a male like that, he does not have to be feminine. I'm not talking about he's sitting on his watching TV but on his stomach kicking
his feet. If you knew better, you'd do better.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He just don't have no real choice, but, you know, it's been a program. I read a book in, 1991, but it was a much older book called Destruction of the Young Black Male. And it went point for point with...
Did it have color
even
illustrations?
Even in elementary school, no.
True. Did it have color illustrations?
No. Pop-ups. But even in elementary school, they show you from phase and phase how they try to weave young black men out of the system by putting them on Ritalin and other type of things which break down their mental capacity to do what we naturally do. You know, if you got a young brother in the household and there's no father in the household, he automatically feel like he runs shit. And,
once
you know,
he gets to a certain age, absolutely. Yeah.
Even though if he 3 years old, he sees no other male, he thinks that he's the king around the damn house. Right. But they have found a way systematically to feminize young black men or minorities.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting how you say that, because you taking it from, you know, a physical aspect and, you know what I'm saying, a behavioral aspect, and then you coming from some old psychological Dr. Phil aspect of the conflict resolution side of it, which is a side that nobody really focus in on. But now that you said, I see a lot of it, because
absolutely,
not necessarily will the kid act feminine. He just will handle those
he
conflicts.
He don't handle shit like a man.
You know, in a, shall I say, a bitch-made way, or what they call it, a fuck boy. But what I'm saying, Black Thought, what are your thoughts on this type of subject?
Well, I'm thinking the same thing that you're trying to get at, Mr. Marv. So I want to hear what it is that you have to finish saying, and I'm going to intervene with you.
That was very political of your ass.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'll get right on into it. Because, like, I noticed this. When I first got with this woman that had, she had a man cub, if you will, if we can take some Jungle Book references.
Did you just call him a man cub?
Yeah, I just saw Jungle Book.
Okay.
That means male child.
Yeah, the man cub of the litter.
Your man cub.
Yeah. So this boy get out the bath, the shower, right? And he got the dry-off towel over his titties. You know what I'm saying? He putting lotion on like this here.
No. I'm not going to even let you get it.
Man titties?
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. Yeah, they was up this high. And then he was sitting in front of TV putting his lotion on like this.
He ain't seen nothing.
He ain't, and he's watching the football game. So
right, he ain't gay.
He didn't know. I said, what the fuck is you doing? He said, I'm air drying and shit. Well, who taught you that shit? You know, he didn't even know. He said, well, shit, this is what you do. I said, well, let me tell you something, because, you know what I'm saying, let me show you. Get your ass back in this motherfucker. At that time, he was 5. So when I was showing him how to properly, you know, handle this shit, you know what I'm saying, his mama got mad at me, like, what are you doing? I said, well, check this shit out. You got 2 choices. You can either stop me from coming over here and we can just do this shit in a motel or something, or I don't have to interact with your kids that you raised them to be nice and feminine and shit, or you can just let them know that it's a man in the house and we're going to do man shit when man shit is needed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that's you just hit on something very serious.
But some cats won't even, they'll just look at that shit and then just hit and then leave and don't even and laugh at that shit and then still let that boy cover his titties up when he get out the shower.
Because we're disconnected. We do not see ourselves as responsible.
Yeah, because it take a village. You can't just be like, well, that ain't my kid.
Come on, man. It is not enough. If you are, and I pride myself in being that. I got 5 kids, the 3 grown, 2 still at the house. The 3 grown, that's loans. I need that money back because I can't give you money.
How old are the 2 at the house?
The 2 at the house are 13 and 10. Mm-hmm. The grown-ups is got 35, 26, and 24. And I'm like, look here, I can't give you money to buy weed and rubbers, because that's what I'm buying.
Right.
I get in money because I'm buying school books and glue. I don't buy glue. They need glue.
Right. Yeah.
So it is not enough for me to be a responsible father to these 2 when all of us got somebody locked up with their kids out here.
Right.
Whether she realize it or not, you trying to save her damn son.
Right.
And what I think a lot of sisters don't want to give up is in this imbalance where the man is gone, the woman is king, not queen, the woman is king.
That's why they grow on goatees.
She don't want to relinquish the throne.
Yeah, Jeff, she's that's the why primary dominant force. But when you think about that, is man, you know, it's still a struggle, man. And most of us really got to hold ourselves accountable, man. Because come on, see, bro. For one, when you dealing with the oppositions, as far as like your open enemy socially. You know, we don't want to say who that is, but we know who that is. But the point given is that the infrastructure to the people is through the woman, okay? If you can pretty much manipulate her, you control everything.
Well, everybody knows that. So what we want to do is if anybody out there is listening and they got some thoughts on this, or maybe they have some kids being raised by some ladies or something like that, and they want to be more have a more masculine influence in the household instead of just going there being a cat burglar and stealing some pussy while these little kids walking around here with boas and tight drawers on talking about the Avengers and shit. Give us a call at 323-293-3375. That's 323-293-3375. Once again, also try to stump the ghetto Googler. And we're going to go to commercial and we'll be right back at the Mad Marv Comedy Lounge right after these messages on Taco Titty and Tequila Tuesday.
Dig that.
Look. I woke up in beast mode with my girl.
We're back. At the Mad Marv Comedy Lounge. That was Big Sean. You know what I'm saying? You got to get your trap music in. And if you're trying to get your rap music in, Big Sean is the greatest guy to bring it in with. We're back again with Black Thought, Farouk, and Jeff Brown, super comedian. We're talking about what we're going to do with these youths and being raised in a feminine environment and not being masculine enough or having enough masculine role models or at the same time having masculine role models in the community who just don't want to get involved with the kids since they're not theirs. Because I know that's a touchy subject, especially in the school system. Like, you know, the kid is in a classroom and they have a male teacher. That teacher might see something odd about the kid. He's going to be a little apprehensive by getting involved because he could lose his job or he could be in danger of not reporting something that he sees or anything. So he's got a laissez-faire attitude, standoff. This ain't mine. I'm just here for my 8 hours and my check as well. Have you noticed that? Have you encountered that as a parent?
I have, but, well, a little different. One, two things. One, that problem's going to take care of itself because the powers that be feel like education is a privilege. It is not a right. So pretty soon, public education is going to go to wayside, which leads us to where we need to be anyway, which is we should have our own schools. Only a fool lets his oppressor teach his kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Second, right.
Second, I don't – knowing that, when I go to schools, I go straight to the teachers before the first day.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get in here, how you doing? I am Jeff Brown. Here is my card. How many kids you going to teach in your class? 35. I really don't give a shit about 34 of them.
Right, right.
My son is who I give a damn about.
Right, right.
If you have a problem with my son, if you have a missed assignment, if you have any behavior issues, call that number.
Mm.
He got 20 minutes to learn Kung Fu. I am stepping in the gap between what is taught at a private school and what is taught at a public school, because private schools are taught to be bosses. Our children are taught to be workers. And since all of the work is being sent out of this country, there's no more work to teach our kids to do. So schools sincerely don't give a fuck. They are basically babysitting.
That's an interesting point you brought up, because I noticed now my daughter had been going to charter school for a number of years. And then,
how old is she?
She's 13 now.
Okay.
So she wanted to go to a regular public school for a year or whatever, and we went to that. Now, being in charter school, a charter school family parent, you know, we're basically involved in everything. You know, they got fundraisers every goddamn week. You know, they got shit for you to do.
Oh, they're going to put your ass on the stroll.
If you have a kid that's at a charter school, you will be involved with the school hands-on. So being as how that was just the norm for us, when we go to the public school and I go on the first day and everything, and I'm seeing how many other parents are there for that orientation, I'm like, wow, where are the rest of these parents at? You know what I'm saying? And then they're looking at these books that the teachers are giving them, like, for example, history. We was looking in the history books, you know what I'm saying, and the stuff that they're teaching them is like, well, hey, I know this ain't the true history, but I was able to look at the teacher and say, hey, well, you know what I'm saying, I don't really want you teaching my kid this as if it's facts, you know what I'm saying?
Correct.
I would rather for you to use this as a part of the curriculum and be able to explain the difference in that, how they should be able to research the truth for themselves. And then the teacher told me, oh, yeah, we have alternative curriculum, but you have to ask for that. Now, had I not said that, nothing.
You wouldn't know.
I wouldn't have even known that they have an alternative curriculum for kids or people that have a problem with what's being taught.
And this
so
is
you just school? So you just explain to yourself the difference between the public school and the private school.
Right.
The only real difference is, see, the curriculum, they want to teach a program your kids the same. Okay, you got bosses that come out of public schools, and you got workers that come out of private schools because they square in a box and don't really know how to interact in society in a crucial situation. Now, the point I'm trying to make is this. Any school is only as good as the parents' participation to get involved also with their child's education.
And nothing's stopping that parent from going to the school.
Thank you.
And having hands-on influence and participation with that school.
All schools have accelerated learning programs. Okay,
wow.
So
yeah.
If your child is extremely smart, they will put your child in this program in any school. But if you're the type of parent to just drop your kids off and
use it as a babysitter,
and just you go, you don't really get to know what type of credentials the principal got or who's the security guard or show your face and presence, they liable to be teaching your kid how to roll up a blunt or fill up and down each other or have them thinking that, you know, you and your boyfriend can really be your boyfriend.
Yeah.
So then they become latchkey kids also when they get home.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. When parents have a lack of participation and involvement, you know, it ain't no telling, like Jack told Helen, where the kids going to end up. Now, we're talking about solutions to this problem. And I think one of my main thing would be my solution is, you know, more parents need to get involved. And I'm not saying that parents don't want to. It's just that, you know, like we said earlier, if you knew better, you do better. Mm-hmm. Why sit on?
If you can't take time, you must make time.
Yeah, you know, because you're either going to do this. This is the way I tell my kids. I'm either going to beat that ass or save up bail money. And I've never been good at saving, Jeff. Never. You see what I'm saying? So I believe in ass whoopings or at least tortures.
Hmm. Well, I don't – how can I put this?
Do you torture, discipline, or beat your kids?
Well, one
– No, just keep it real because, you know, this is the comedy glam.
No. I'm just keep it frighteningly real. one – I don't believe that anyone can, because there's this backlash with regard to, nowadays you can't beat your kids when, if I'm not mistaken, white folks invented whoopings.
Right, right.
So I don't believe my kids get ass whoopings without a lesson attached.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
It's a lesson attached.
Yeah.
The best way to put it is, and the way I explain to my kids as they get a little older, look here. What's going to happen to you? My favorite, I collect cars, you know that. My favorite car is a 65 Thunderbird. Ask my son, Blakey, what's going to happen to you, Blakey, if you throw a baseball through my front window accidentally? Are you going to get a spanking? No. I said, why? Because it was an accident. I said, that's right. But what we going to do as soon as I pull that ball out the window? We're going to go in the house and see how much a window costs. Yes. And where is half of that money going to come from? Me, exactly. And you're going to be a grass-cutting ass. You're going to be... Now, if I say, Blakey, it's 100 jelly beans in this bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Don't touch them jelly beans. And I come back, and it's 98 jelly beans? Somebody got to whoop somebody's ass over 2 jelly beans, either me or you, and I got 50 on me. I don't think you can handle it.
For real. There it is there.
It's defiance. The right. lesson there is it's defiance. Called,
but it's called principles. It's right. teaching your kids how right. to respect authority and also make them mindful of their conduct. You
right.
Because the bottom line is, man, you know, if you don't teach your kids, this world will, man. So,
woo.
You know, constantly we losing our children every day, man, with these false hopes and beliefs that – you know, they gonna be any better than us without really teaching them and sitting down. Nowadays with technology, a lot of parents don't even talk to their kids. They'd rather text message them.
Well, there's two questions.
And they just in the room with each other. Uh-huh. The parent might be upstairs, child might be downstairs.
Texting.
And they texting instead of really sitting down talking.
Now, I ain't gonna lie. I did that one time because we ran out of toilet paper. And they was in there watching Empire. I did text and say, somebody bring me some toilet paper before I have to wipe my ass with my hand. So
that's a good reason.
That's a great reason. That's a great reason. I think there's two. You don't want to have to ever wipe your ass with your hand. I don't think I would have just yelled out, if you don't want me to wipe my ass with your face towel. Whoever under the sound of my voice need to bring some fucking paper up here.
And it's hard to do that when everybody got headphones in the house.
Right. Well, then somebody finna go, you know what? This rag don't smell right. There are two.
He says two. Yeah.
Two questions. What do you want your children to be better than you? Most decent people say yes. Question number two. What does that look like? What does better than you look like?
Now, better than me, it looks like a cold-blooded motherfucker. You
exactly.
Know what I'm but see, sometimes I think a lot of parents, they then accidentally had kids and they don't even know they own value. You know what I'm saying? So what's better than them is
fucking with these oops babies.
Yeah, I just want you to get full time at McDonald's because I've been trying to get on full time.
Yeah, well, my definition is that as a man coming up in the city of South Central and the surrounding cities.
Yeah.
Just the peer pressure and just life itself, what I went through, and just looking back at my mistakes. I would look at that as like I always tell my sons, I want my stumbling blocks to be your stepping stones, meaning that you don't have to go out here and do the same dumb shit to put yourself at a disadvantage. You always want to keep yourself at an advantage in life. So don't go out here and do what you see all these other little nappy-headed motherfuckers doing because they don't have no father at home that's going to beat their ass.
Now, Black Thought, you grew up in Oakland, right?
I grew up in Palo Alto to be
exact. Palo Alto. How far is that from Oakland?
How far is it? It's probably about 30 minutes across. It's across the Dumbarton Bridge, or you can take the San Mateo Bridge.
Then you still Oakland, home of the Rock. Eight woofers in the truck beating down the block.
Yes, sir. But now if you're going, I'm from the east side.
Yeah.
In the ghetto.
Yeah, that's totally two different extremes.
So, being as how you came from Palo Alto.
Thank you.
East Palo Alto. How is it different from you being raised as you think it is for these kids now as far as the hustle or trying to stay focused or be better than their parents?
Back then we had a lot more structure and a lot more unity amongst our families.
Come on, bro.
I got an ass whooping. My last ass whooping was at 20 some years old. My mother woke me up with an extension cord.
27?
Nah, 20 something. She woke me up with an extension cord because I didn't take the trash out.
Come on, bro.
God damn.
At 5:30 in the morning. So that stung my ass up and kind of woke me up.
That damn extension cord reach in and get your soul.
Yes, sir.
God damn.
Yeah, so
now here's a man getting his ass whooped being grown.
Correct, by my mama though.
Now, did you appreciate that ass whooping?
I didn't, but I know now, and I know better.
I'm gonna tell you that a lot of people say I'm glad I got them ass whooping. Yeah, that's after you done grew up and everything, and the probability of you getting another one is swimming none. But I know when we was getting them bastards
in the moment.
Oh yeah. Man, I hate my mama.
Oh, you know what she's doing?
Who is this woman? I hate my mama. And you always think, okay, because you know I grew up with my mother, and then I would go to my dad's on the weekend. Like I just wanted to go with my dad because I figured it got to be better than this shit. So I went to live with his ass, and I was like, I'm a real slave.
Okay.
I turned around, I was like, this nigga got me over here because I'm a slave. Mm-hmm. I was doing everything that the slaves do.
Right.
For room and board. Sometimes he'd make me go to sleep at 3:00 in the afternoon just because I didn't wash my feet. Go, is that your feet? Go to bed. I'm like, Daddy, it's 3:00. I don't give a fuck.
Damn.
You laying in there, the damn sun shining.
Right.
Yeah. Hear your friends playing.
Right. Yeah, you can hear it in their room. You can hear their ass playing and shit. You want to peek out the window and shit. It's 3:00, nigga.
Yep.
Yeah, actually, man, when I started fucking up the streets, man, and going to juvenile hall, it wasn't that bad because I was already used to being in my goddamn room, you know, like your room become a cell then, you know. Mm-hmm. While you're on punishment, your ass got to stay in the goddamn room. You got to ask permission to go to the bathroom or to get something to drink. Now, the fucked up thing about that is looking out the window, you see all your kids and friends and everybody playing, and you can't go nowhere.
Mm-mm. Right.
You call each friend to try to get them to ask your mama, can you come out and listen by the door, and you go hear no every time. That's torture.
Then you got to hear the laughs and shit.
That's beautiful, because I use them instances to teach my son. Go to the window. Look, do you see everybody handling their business?
Yeah.
I'm handling your business because you couldn't. And that's what society will do.
And that's right. Why you're out
here. You don't handle your business?
Yeah.
Society, when you look at niggas in prison,
yeah.
They want that. The society is handling their business. You don't get to pee when you
that's
want
right.
to. You don't get to eat what you want.
Right.
You don't get to wear what you want
yep.
because you didn't handle your business, so we handling it for
now,
you.
Now, what's the Thank total you. Amount of kids you have again?
Five.
Five altogether. And your oldest is?
35.
And what that's a male or a
male female? Male. I adopted him at two. He never knew his father. I met his mom.
So what is he doing with his life? He's successful?
Oh yeah, good dude. Good dude. Good dude. Doing his thing, man. All my sons, none in jail, all doing their thing. All out in the world.
Well, let's give you a round of applause.
Well,
because
thank you, brother.
Yeah,
one thing we like to do on the Comedy Lounge is we like to give applause and accolades to daddy men. You know what I'm saying? Man,
right.
It's actually out there handling their business. You know, a lot of times they don't want to give us the props. You know, it ain't easy just taking care of some kids and being you know, committed to it. But it can happen. It's possible. And, you know, you ain't got to get no accolades. My accolades was when I realized that my son and my daughter graduated from high school. And you know, they wasn't no teenage pregnancy, you know, gangbang and everything. Total, I got three of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I looked around because there wasn't no manual when
one
I started.
For none of us. Come
yeah,
on, bro.
Like, and this is how you raise the kids to make sure they stay out of shit. You know what I'm saying? Because it was going down. I didn't know how to handle some things. So my son, he aspired to be a good liar, but he would fuck up somewhere in the lie where you'd be like, nigga, you didn't think that shit through.
No, did you?
Right. Right. We went to school at a parent-teacher meeting, and before the meeting started, the teachers was like, we want to give our condolences for your dog, Ralphie. I'm looking up at my wife like, we ain't got no motherfucking dog.
No, Ralphie.
Yeah. He
lied to the teacher.
He done told the teachers that the dog died, so he was so depressed and grieving that he couldn't do his homework.
Okay. Did you whoop his ass when he got home?
Oh, when we got home, I couldn't. At that time, I'd already went through parenting classes and stuff like that, so I couldn't whoop his ass and leave a mark. So I just went to I went to the good old fashioned way, the American way, and went to the Guantanamo Bay tortures, and I discovered waterboarding.
I give him E for effort, though, Mar,
because
that's better than the dog ate your homework. That's more creative than the dog ate your homework.
That's classic. But you know, he did put a little twist on there. But damn, you didn't think. You thought we was going to play along when we got in there with you?
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest lessons I learned. My father taught me this. I was a senior in high school. I forget what the lie was about. But I lied to my mother, and she started crying in front of my father. And he said, boy, you know, one day that lying shit is going to catch you. Time went by. I thought he's going to whip my ass. Am I grounded? Nothing. So we had something called Senior Ditch Day. So my pops had this 79 280 ZX. I used to buff that thing and scrub it with a toothbrush just to drive
like
it.
Like Daniel Sam
from
the Karate Kid.
Come on, bro. So I'm like, pops, you going to let me use the car? He said, man, your grade's good. Everything good. You got the car. I don't know why you keep tripping. So I done bought my girl. This Senior Ditch Day, man. I bought my girl the khaki jeans, khaki shorts like I got, white polo shirt, white K-Swiss. I got her matching shit. It's 5:45. I done got up in the morning.
Right.
My parents.
He telling his age with the dress code. You know he's an old nigga with
Come
that
on,
dress
bro.
Code.
Come on, man. My parents' door come open. My father said, you know that thing I told you about you could use my car? I lied.
Oh, wow.
And I'm standing there in the hallway, and I ain't got it yet.
Fresh to the moment.
Then it hit me. Yeah. Then it hit me, and a tear started falling. He said, how does it feel? Somebody you trust and respect look you right in your face and lie to you. How does that feel? Well, that's how your mama felt. Now get your monkey ass back in the room and think about it.
Yeah.
And
so he lied like a motherfucker to you about driving
this
car.
And I'm in there, you know, you cry. I'm doing all this shit, and I hear through the wall, baby, don't do him like that. He says, stop that. You can teach him everything except how to be a man.
That's real.
And that's what I'm teaching him right now.
Yeah.
Stay out the way. And a lot of women
Get in bring the motherfucking us back to way.
Get don't want to get out the way.
I mean, we find out a lot that happens. Like, how many people that's married or in a relationship and you got kids and you're getting ready to chastise or discipline that man mm-hmm. cub, young Mowgli's ass, and then the woman say, don't let me be here when you do it, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to hear it. Wait a minute. Well, then I'll wait till your ass is gone because Mowgli's getting ready to get the Jungle Book.
Ain't no wait till your ass is gone. I'm finna handle this ass. I think you need to go on to Starbucks. You need to take.
Yeah,
a
I got
walk.
So pissed off.
It's going down.
I got so pissed off at my old lady one time. I told her, "Look, if you got a problem with how I discipline my son, the next time I get ready to whoop his ass, stand in front of him."
Right. Yeah. Go on, take some.
Okay, because I'll be damned if my son go have the fucked up ideology of what it is to be a him instead of a she or just a man in general. And if I can help it. If he need his ass whooped, he go need his ass whooped.
So how did she take that when you was in the police car after that?
Well, I wasn't in no police car.
No, I'm not going to.
Because she knew I was serious.
She didn't get in the way.
But, you know, just I sat to slap the shit out of him just about 2 days ago behind something. He's 12.
Oh, yeah.
So he's at that age,
the little
know?
Horns is growing.
But, yeah, but he's 7 foot two, and he's
real tall.
That's a
height.
Big boy.
Yeah, but.
Big boy ain't got
like,
shit on a man.
Just
that's
like
a man
I told
right
look,
there.
Son, I'm not going to grab no little belt and whoop your ass. When you do wrong, I'm going to correct your ass like people in the streets get corrected.
Come on, bro.
Because, see, when you walk down the street, son, they don't see no 12-year-old boy. They see a man because mm-hmm. you my height. Okay, so you have to be assertive and learn how to conduct yourself. I always tell you, man, stay by yourself. Right. Don't be in the crowd because you're the biggest thing.
Come on.
Whenever
man.
People do shit, you're the biggest person in the crowd, so you go draw the most attention.
Right.
You know? So when you don't listen to me, I just let everything play out. I wake up in the morning, I hear him going back and forth with his mama. So I called him in the room and said, son, come on in here, man. How many times have I told you when your mama tell you something or anybody tell you to do something, especially somebody taking care of you, to just don't argue, do it. Don't nobody give a fuck about your opinion or your feelings. Because your feelings and opinions ain't paying for no bills around here.
Right.
So all you have to do at this point of your life is simply pay attention and do what you are asked to do. That's easy. Okay, now when you come with these opinions and you start trying to lie when you didn't take the damn trash out or clean up after your pet that you wanted, your dog, and you get to lie your way out of this, it is simply easy to say, yes, ma'am, and go handle that. Now, just like I tell him, don't nobody got to tell you to turn that goddamn game on.
Right.
Don't nobody got to tell you to take your ass in the icebox and eat whatever you want. So certain things, you should take it upon yourself, that same attitude, when you walk past the trash and you see it's full, to take it out. So don't nobody have to ask you to do it.
That would be
I got
correct.
Something for you, bro. I got a little gift for you. I had that same problem with my oldest son. Yeah. He was about 14. Me and my ex had split up. And her thing was she would call me when she was at her wit's end.
Yeah.
And it'd be on, get on the phone! Yeah. Get on the phone! And then she telling me what they did. I go, fellas, is that true? Yeah. Okay, I'll see you in 45 minutes. Yeah. Ah! I said, now, they off the phone? You see this shit you did in front of them? If you told me on the low, I could have handled it on the low. But you can't never call me and they don't see some shit happen.
Because they want to feel like they're in control and they baby them. So, and the thing is, see, you got to understand the nature of a woman. See, we ain't never had no child growing inside of our stomach and went through the pain to have that. Mm-hmm. See, women raise their daughters, but they love their son. Ooh. See, so they going to always love them. It's our job to let them know a difference. See, if a woman wasn't sensitive and she wasn't that way towards a man and you have him, then he might be a cold heart motherfucker.
And you need
both factors for the balance. Okay, so like I tell my lady, don't get mad and want to whoop his ass or anything like that because you his mother. What you are doing is instilling to him and showing him how to resent women.
Yeah, because he ain't supposed to ever get that from you.
Yeah, right. he ain't supposed to be getting his ass whooped by no woman.
Right.
Now, you as mama, you can pop his ass upside his head, but I guarantee you he going to outgrow them ass whoopings, but he ain't going to never outgrow these damn knuckles.
Thank you. Because
I just proved to my son, 12, and he got on to it to his grown brothers, and they had to talk about it and laughed about it. And they asked him, is
that coming in pops
they,
like
no,
that?
No, they asked him, is daddy hand still fat? What my oldest son, grown sons, asked my 12-year-old son is, his daddy hands still fast? Yeah. And he said, yeah, they are. Okay? Like I told him, if you was that goddamn fast, son, because see, he always try to race me, think he fizzy faster than me. So I told him, if you was that goddamn faster than me, son, you would have ducked when you see my hand
coming. Right.
That's just my hand.
Yeah, Doc, here. This happened to me. This actually happened.
And like I tell her, I don't care about whooping his ass if I got to bust his nose or whatever to get him to understand what it is to be a full-grown man out here in this world.
Your ass whooping's got love on him.
Okay, thank you.
Now,
but what's your true story?
This actually
like
happened.
Ass whooping story. Yeah.
I told her, I said, stop calling me in front of them because they can't see nothing happen when you do that. When you put up the bat signal, Batman got to fucking show up. Yeah. Stop doing that shit. She goes, okay, all right, fine then. Here's a problem I'm having. Eric, that's my oldest son, he keep leaving the trash. He don't take the trash out. I said, all right, cool. Next time I come out, we're going to have a talk. So everybody's sitting there. I said, what was your problem with Eric? Eric don't take the trash out. I said, well, what's the rule? She said, I need to take it. What's the rule, Eric? Mama said take the trash out when it needs taken out. I said, that's the problem right there. Do you know what needs taken out looked like to a 14-year-old? He don't give a shit if trash is all out the goddamn. I said, here's the new rule. Eric, every night the trash goes out. Well, sometime ain't nothing in it. I said, well, then what I want you to do is pull up nothing, wrap nothing in a knot, and take nothing out. So for about 3 weeks, it was working. Then she called me. See, he back at it. I said, cool. I said, when I come out here, when I drop them off, don't say nothing. I'm dropping my kids off on the weekend. The trash still sitting there. So I hug them, kiss them. Good night, y'all. They go upstairs. I wait about 15 minutes, go up to his bedroom door. I open the door. He's a neat freak. I walk past him with the trash can, pull his sheets back and go. Mm.
Very effective.
The trash goes out every night.
Mm. Very effective.
If you have a problem with that, we can go out in the grass.
Yeah.
Now, that's no very problem. Effective.
Yes, it's very effective, but ain't no woman going to think. Ain't no woman going to, the woman don't think on them lines.
No, because, see, we went through a specific type of training, man, and it's just like a protocol, man. Everybody writes a passage just like when you 16, 17 and a half, you ain't supposed to make your son feel comfortable in the goddamn house.
Hell no.
If he in there in the room or whatever and the lights is off and he's asleep, go in there and turn the goddamn lights on and let him stay on there. And he pops, you interrupted my sleeping. You've been interrupting my goddamn pockets all the year. You've been leaving the lights on. This is your outro program.
Now, see, we was asking for solutions.
I'm preparing you to hurry up and get your ass out of here.
Now, we was asking for solutions. Now, if anybody listening, that's a one good effective solution for getting that trash taken out. Because we had a similar solution for people who peed in the bed in my family. You know, my mother would make you chew the piss out the sheets. Now, once you chew some piss stain.
That's vicious.
Yeah, once you chew a whole piss stain out of some sheets.
I ain't never thought about no shit like that.
Well, I'm telling you, it's abrasive, but it's highly effective. You know, it get it out real cool. Better than Tide, actually.
Well, no, okay. I had a son. I'm not going to say which one or his name, but I had a son who used to wet the bed. I took a different approach. I used an alarm clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. Okay, here's what we're going to do. You go to bed at 8. We're going to set this alarm clock at 10.
Mm-hmm.
When it go off, if you peed already, tomorrow night we're going to set it at 9. Come to find out, he pee at 9:45, an hour and 45
How long did it take
minutes.
You to figure that shit out?
It took a little trial and error, but it wasn't something he was doing on purpose. You only get in trouble in my house for shit you do on purpose. So once we figured out it was 9:45, we set the alarm clock for 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
Every night for about 2 months at 9:30, that alarm clock would go off. He'd get his little ass up and go pee. Pretty soon, he didn't need the alarm clock, and he wasn't peeing in the bed.
Now, how old was he at that point?
About 8.
Now, see, that's cool because my son had pissed till he was 13, and I couldn't figure that shit out. Clocks. I went to the doctor and shit, and they was explaining the inner workings of the bladder and how, you know, if they drink, then it's 30 minutes after. And I couldn't figure out until he confessed to me and when he got 16 and told me the problem was, is he was not going in the kitchen drinking any liquids because I used to hide above the cereal like a ninja to make sure that he wasn't stealing nothing, right?
My daddy on the refrigerator.
Right, you know, and shit. Just like for hours I was staying up in that mug. He told me that he used to drink the shower water.
Oh, okay. Well, he was thirsty.
Yeah, so I was no way I was able to ever figure that out. So he would go to bed, nothing to drink, go in the bathroom. We think he taking a shower. He drinking water.
Because nothing to drink is not the answer.
Right, so then that's why he was still pissing after the time.
Here's what here.
But he still had to chew that piss out them seats. Black
people got to learn when to take adversarial approaches with their kids, and it ain't all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think this is what. And God bless single women that got to do this job by their goddamn self. You are not like this brother said. If you are raising your son with absolutely no alpha male energy around him at all, go to your local barbershop, talk to the owner, and have that boy come down there and sweep up hair.
Hello.
Have him come sweep up hair.
Do something.
Now, so a lion need to be around other lions.
Now, me and Farouk will tell you, because, you know, we do hair. Now, a lot of time, you know, women do bring them kids in there and they be out of line. My approach sometimes is one way, but Farouk has his own approach. Sometimes I just send the mother to McDonald's or something to get the kid something, and then when he do, I beat his ass something while she going to get the snack.
Right, right, right.
And he usually be cool when she come back. But Farouk, he don't send him nowhere. He'll just start beating the kid's ass in the seat while the mother's right there.
Hey, man.
The fade is 25. No. The ass whooping's free.
No, I'm charging them for that, needed. Too. Yeah, but see, the bottom line is this, though, man. You know, anytime you have a man in your child's life, especially your male child, even though you might not like what he's saying, if he loves you, he's not meaning your child no harm. He just see where things in your child's life at the phases has been a young man need to be corrected. Okay, this is why the penitentiary is so full. This is why police is shooting brothers down. This is why sisters themselves are saying it ain't no good man out here. Okay, because it's like they spoiled and they ruined from day one. You know, they are enabled, so they don't have no real strive to go out there and get nothing because they got mama catering to them.
Yeah.
I know this cat's 60-something goddamn years old, got fired from his job and had his 80-something-year-old mama come up there to help him get his shit down the stairs. He also bragged about his 80-something-year-old mother buying him his first iPhone. She still cooked for him every day.
She still buying clothes and shit?
When he got fired from where we worked, that his mama wrote the person who fired him
so
a letter.
So he's still being socially breastfed, basically.
At 60 years old.
Uh-huh. God damn.
Now, if I could find somebody's mama to pay that still pay their iPhone bill at 60 years old, I don't know what to take.
And he dressed like the man from Mars on the Blondie video from 1981. Come on, how the hell you cut hair and you got on a snow white ass top hat and a white tuxedo? Where the fuck are you going?
Mike, where are you going, Mike?
Yeah, where are you going after this? Because you didn't wear that for this, did you?
Oh, every day he looked like the last rejected member of the time that didn't make it.
Well, you got to understand. His mama probably said, baby, don't you go out this house looking raggedy. So he put the top hat and shit on.
Mike.
We're going to be right back after these messages. If you got any questions, call us at 323-293-3375. Mad Marv Comedy Lounge, 323-293-3375.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be broke back cowboys.
Hey, so we voodoo
magic. Courtside with a bad bitch. Then I send the bitch through Uber.
Bad and booty. What's happening? We back. We're back. Mad Marv Comedy Lounge. We're talking about these badass kids, what to do with them, and these badass parents that they be opening the door when the badass kids come home. Jeff, we was talking to earlier, and you had something on your mind that you said needs to be said. What exactly is it?
Okay, well,
because we're going into sports now.
On the break, yeah, we're talking about sports.
Yeah, we're going into sports. You know, March Madness is coming up.
Yeah.
You know, some of them bad kids done made it out of the ghetto and went on
March
to
March Madness ain't coming up. March Madness been going down.
Yeah, it's been going down. Well, what was on your mind about that?
We have all the talent and own none of the teams.
Period.
Period. Everything we own, we give away. So it's a little hard for me. I don't see the integration of anything as forward.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere you can point at integration.
Some black people did own a couple of teams. Or is that just stocks?
One. They own pieces of. Mm-hmm. They are tokens, figureheads.
Yeah, figureheads.
There should be no one. If you are going to own a team and you are white, there is no reason that the ghetto in your town should not be entirely financed, not by the players, but by your ass, because that's where you're going to get your talent.
Right.
Very true.
Yes, that's where you're getting your talent.
Well,
what professional teams should look like in the next 3 years, mm-hmm. if I were made emperor, is they would be all white. They would be, all of them would be, the NFL would be lily fucking white.
If you were emperor?
If I was made emperor, immediately, all niggas gotta leave all sports that ain't owned by niggas today.
Fucking A, dude.
Today.
I mean, talent is talent, man. You know, just like the slogan go, man, you get in where you fit in at, man. And I feel your passion about that, man. But when you look at it professionally, man, it's like if you can play football, you get your money, man, but you invest into your own community and your business. You can't expect for nobody, even though they get your talent or servitude from your community, to invest in your community. Because if they invest in your community, why would you ever want to work for them? So you have to start what you're trying to do from the grassroots level. I mean, everything can be a positive. You know, a lot of NBA and NFL players as brothers need to get together and start their own sports enterprise and start their agent service.
Just thinking about that, what you said, Jeff, now, just in case, let's just say one of these white owners did do that. I mean, they probably would have one of the coldest teams in the league, because not only would they have a tough inner city harvest, you know what I'm saying, but the community would want to support them because of the good they see them doing in the community.
Well, they're going to support them anyway because they're a fan of the sport, man.
I'm sorry, what was your name again, brother?
Farouk.
Farouk. Yeah. Something he said made a lot of sense. You cannot expect these teams to put into the communities. You sure can't, but mm-hmm. you can fucking demand it.
Yeah.
I don't expect my oppressor to do anything.
Right.
Yeah. But the concept that we are ever, ever going to get out of this circle we are ever, ever in without owning anything. We don't own shit. Whenever you don't own something, you can do is consume.
Your word is nothing. We the number one consumers. We 13% of the nation population, but spend $1,000. So my thing is demanding. How could you demand of your oppressor to change your situation? You have to command it. And what I mean by that is we have to take command, like we was talking about, fathering our children, fostering better men to spring forth a better atmosphere in our community, because the men are the protectors and the providers of the community. So you foster that. A lot of us want revolution to change things, but many of us have not evolved or revolved into being better prepared. Okay, we don't even control most of us don't even control our own damn households.
Right.
Okay,
wow.
Wi-Fi does. Okay, now, to say that, you got to start from within, man. You got to learn how to take control over your own thoughts and become a better person and a more productive man. See, I don't give a fuck about what type of good ideas you got. If you're not a producer, don't nobody give a fuck about what you got to say. See, that's the problem with a lot of us, you know, when women talk shit to us, it's for a real reason. Mm-hmm. That means you're not producing. When you a real producer, that brings upon comfort for her. So she, in turn, give you comfort. When she's irritated by your lack of production, so now she got to make up for your shit and do her part also, that's put more pressure on the female. So many of us got to put our goddamn pride aside as men. Do what we supposed to do, be better examples for these young brothers instead of always telling them something good. Let's show them something good instead of always telling them something good.
That brings us to a good point, too, because I noticed that you know, as a father myself, you know, we're going through it. And our intentions be good. Our intentions are good. We want to tell these kids, we want to save them some heartache, pain, some time to make mistakes and everything. But we're just telling them. By the time they get to a certain age, you know, they become numb to being told stuff. And then you have to use practical action. Like, you have to be proactive with what you've told them. Like, when we was in school learning how to do hair, we had a theory part, and then we had a practical part.
Application,
so,
yeah.
In raising kids, we have to sometimes, as parents, understand that we have to put practicality with the theoretical in order for these kids to really absorb what you're saying. Because, you know, I know as a parent, you get tired of saying, how many times I done told you this shit? Okay, well, how many times have you showed in comparison time, and you told, you know what I'm saying? So when you take account of that and do an evaluation on that, if we could just start implementing that, I think that would be one step closer to solving this problem. That's just me.
Sounds like a
Black Thought. What do you feel about that?
I feel the same way you feel it, Mr. Marv.
Of course. And that's why we have Black Thought right here on the Mad Marv Comedy Lounge, because most of the time, what he think is going to be the same thing I think.
Some of the time.
And that's a Black Thought.
It surely is.
Now, what are we doing for March Madness? What's going on?
For March Madness, I think I'm going for UCLA to take it all the way. I don't know how far we're going to go, but I'm a root for them. I got a $100 bet down there in Vegas laid down.
So now, here we got some type of a college phenom on playing for UCLA.
Yeah, and that part I really don't know too much about. You might can enlighten me on it.
I think it's is that the twins or the brothers?
No, it's three brothers, man. They out there from Chino Hills. Mm-hmm. They pops is from South Central. But
Yeah.
You know, he got some youngsters he invested some time in. Going back to the initial discussion, having a father in their life, he pretty much shaped and molded them to become disciplined in their sport, and they're real good at doing that.
How about that?
I'm saying? But outside of basketball, they're good students and they're good people. You know what I'm saying?
I would love
their
to have him on the show.
Demeanor is pleasant. Yeah. Me too.
I would like to have him and Joe Jackson on this motherfucker at the same time.
What about him and Charles Barkley, since you know Charles Barkley was talking shit about it? But Charles Barkley, shut your fat ass up, like the man said. You ain't even got no goddamn kids. You got small ass dogs. Okay? You don't have no goddamn kids. Your fat white ass wife is barren. She can't have no kids. So leave the man alone, man.
Now, but you gotta get Charles Barkley.
You mad because his white woman look better than the white woman you married, nigga. Let the man raise his kid. You ain't got no championships, so shut the hell up. So what? The man only scored 2 points and averaged 2 points. Like he said, I'm on the basketball court with my sons every day while your fat ass is sitting behind the desk eating donuts.
Yeah.
So shut up, Charles Barkley.
I'm gonna have to go ahead. I'm gonna have to piggyback on that. If them two do play, I got 50 on the dude. Barkley is over.
And brothers need to quit trying to keep up with the Kardashians too, because there's some eligible black women out here that need some of them brothers to take care of these kids.
Your greens taste funny. You date a white chick, your greens taste funny
because they don't put that hawk in there.
I can't, man. I'm sorry, my. I've been married. This is my third marriage. All sisters. I can't. They get on my fucking nerves sometimes.
But you got to have them greens.
Bruh. There's a place in my soul. I used to date this Indian chick. I used to date this Indian girl. Finest Persian cat hair. Everywhere I took, niggas were like, oh, my God.
Yeah, your curry baby. That was your curry baby.
Every now and then, there was a place where she could really reach my soul and really touch it, that a black woman can reach out and touch it at will. That it's just a connection I have with a sister that I'm sorry, I don't, I, and hey, you do what you're doing. I can't fuck around. I love sisters.
That's what's up.
I can't. I, fuck it. I, you know.
I do too, but I, you know, a lot of them don't love me, but fuck them. See, I love the ones that love me.
Oh, right? They out there,
you know,
bro.
Y'all ought to be getting confused with that reality TV bullshit, love of hip hop, a lot of households.
Come on,
I don't want you no goddamn way. No. Okay? If you got Indian or motherfucking, what you call that, Brazilian or Malaysian hair, why you mad at me? Because I want an Indian, Brazilian, or Malaysian motherfucking woman.
Come on, man.
That's who you pretending to be. Correct. And I see you. I see you comb the fake ass hair. You take care of it and all of that. What's wrong with taking care of your own goddamn hair, sister?
How about nothing. That?
Now, man. If I wanted a white girl, right, why would I want a white girl to act like your ass?
That defeats the purpose of having a white girl.
I don't want no white girl named Sheila. that, you know, think twerking and
popping
guns.
She's poison to the game.
Okay, so why would I want a sister that ain't no real sister?
Exactly.
I want you in your original and natural state. That's when you got the most power. That's when you're most pristine and beautiful.
And that is the Earth's original blueprint for beauty. And there is no idea.
And contrary to popular disbelief, you know, black men, we do love stretch marks on a woman, on a sister. You know,
let me tell you something. I look for stretch marks in grandkids if I was going to start dating. That keep you out of jail. That keep you out of court.
Yeah, it do.
You can't. You can't pretend that you ain't 48.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I checked the medicine cabinet myself.
Yeah, thank you. For psych meds. You know, fine as wine. You know, she look good. Her derriere is very fair. But as soon as you look in a medicine cabinet, you see that mental illness is for real.
I checked the medicine cabinet for
most fine women crazy than the motherfucker.
Anything, any medicine with ceiling on the end of it, that's what I checked.
This is horrible. This is horrible. I'm going to say it.
Most fine women are crazy.
All
Holly
of
Berry,
it.
Crazy
all
as
of
hell.
It. All of it make your dick stink. How many of you are peaceful?
Toni Braxton, another crazy one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Out your fucking minds. I can't. You got to bring me. I will take some peace over a peace any fucking time. I want some peace. I don't give a damn.
Yes. I can't deal with a nagging young lady. I just don't do it. If I got to put my hands on you, we got to go through all them.
We
got to
go.
Different, yeah. It's no need for us to be together because ain't no need me whooping your ass, having to get up in the morning and look at your ass being whooped and me laying down worried about you throwing some hot grits or something on my black ass, scorching the fuck out of me.
I had this rule when I was dating. We get into one argument that's louder than the radio, I'm not fucking with you no more. From right there, if we got to talk and it's louder than this radio, then
that's a good rule.
Think about this. Think about this for a second.
So you dated most of your women from
the
Midwest.
We can go to the park and holler, but I don't think we should be doing that shit in front of kids. But I told a lady I was seeing, man, you know, quite some years back, this right here, okay? While you nagging, the other lady will be gagging.
Woo!
So you figure it out, and you really understand which place where I'd rather be at.
Let me tell you something. You know, there's a question the side chick never asks you. You know what your problem is? Side chick don't ever ask me that question. That's why they winning. They win, because they all this shit you nagging about, the side chick don't nag. The side chick is,
like
where I get
said,
my peace.
It's agreement.
While you're nagging, she'll be gagging.
That's it.
Okay, you figure it out.
And that's the ghetto Googler phrase that pays for the week. We will see you guys next Tuesday, the same time at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Make sure you call in at 323-293-3375. We want to thank our guest, Jeff Brown, for coming in.
Thank y'all, man.
Jeff, you performing anywhere soon?
Tomorrow night I will be in Bellflower at the French Quarter.
Okay, tomorrow night, Bellflower, that's Southern California.
Yes, sir.
And the French Quarter, you can see Jeff Brown get down.
Yes, sir.
And he will still be having these cornrows and his Indiana Jones hat.
Now, that's on the corner of Flower and Bellflower Boulevard.
In this beautiful town of Long Beach, right?
Yeah,
that's where the club is at.
Yeah.
So if anybody out there want to come on down and check my man Jeff out, it's right off the 91 freeway.
All right.
And me and Farouk will be there, and
come through.
Yeah, we're going to come enjoy ourselves.
Come
through. We might even bring Marv with us.
The lounge will be in the house.
If he can get out the house.
Come through, fellas.
So we want to thank y'all. Another one. Well, Taco, Tequila, and
Peace
Titty
to the
Tuesdays.
World.
Mad Marv Comedy.
Let's raise better children to run the world.
And dump your trash in your kids' bed.
And one more other thing, y'all. Kids, life without education is a long shot.
Wow.
And that's your black thought.
Yes, sir.